Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20 en español.com.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
That movie has probably been the most effective movie made to help people understand. If you want to go into that world, this is what you're going to have to understand and face. If you don't, if you don't really want to go into that world, get out of here.
Welcome to More Than a Movie, American Me, a podcast that digs into the history and mystery of American Me, a film directed by and starring Edward James Olmos that had a huge impact on Latino cinema and culture. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and I'll be diving into the behind-the-scenes controversy. And although I keep getting warned time and time again to leave this alone, I am still on a quest to find out what really happened to Ana Lizárraga, Charles Manriquez, Manuel Luna, and potentially others, all advisors on the film American Me, who wound up dead in the weeks and months after the film's release. But more importantly, if they were killed because of their participation in the film, we want to find out why. Every episode, I'm going to try to peel back a layer of the story behind this film 30 years after its release by trying to go deeper into the intentions and the motives behind the film and the backlash. Our last episode was all about Edward James Olmos, the director, producer, and star of American Me. almost has never addressed the aftermath of the film and seldom even talked about the film itself. He told our last guest, Rafael Agustin, that he, quote, can't talk about it. That clip you heard at the top was a rare instance of almost answering a question about American Me from a young filmmaker at New York Film Academy. During an audience Q&A, the young woman asks Olmos if he's encouraging them to tell stories about great Latinos, why did he choose to play Santana? Coming off an Oscar nomination for his iconic role in Stand and Deliver, Edward James Olmos earned the biggest opportunity yet for a Latino filmmaker, to direct and star in a major Hollywood release. And he chose a controversial subject for his directorial debut. The Mexican Mafia, a notorious prison and street gang that at the time was at the height of its powers. It was a bold move, and it didn't end well. To this day, there is still so much stigma and mystery surrounding this film. One of the biggest controversies in the wake of the film is whether the film actually served to discourage kids from joining gangs, which was almost his intention, or if it actually in some ways made gang life seem appealing, despite all the bad shit that happens to the characters.
You know, that the Chicano gang life, I mean, that's the movie that is closest to reality, you know, that people go and watch. And so it's one of those films that gets kind of passed down from generation to generation. And it's still relevant, you know, and it's still, but it just gets kind of, you know, passed down and watched and rediscovered. Yeah, but it's a classic. It's like, to me, it's like The Godfather. It's like Goodfellas. It's one of these films that captured like a real moment in time.
That's actor Jacob Vargas. If you watched any movies in the 1990s or 2000s starring a Latino family, you know who he is. He played the tough kid, but the good tough kid, the one you were rooting for. Just to name a few of his credits, he's been in Mi Vida Loca, My Family, Crimson Tide, Get Shorty, Selena, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, Next Friday, Traffic, Jarhead, Cesar Chavez, and currently you can find him streaming in National Treasure Edge of History on Disney+. As a kid, I really liked him as an actor. Not just because he's very good, but because there were so few Latinos in film and TV, and I found him inspiring. Like a lot of people I talked to for this show, he grew up in Los Angeles around a lot of gangs. The world of American Me was a little before his LA, but it was familiar. He had friends and relatives who were involved in the life and some who have even lost their lives. So we'll talk about his career. I want to know how he's thrived as a Latino in an industry that throws more oil slicks and banana peels at you than fucking Mario Kart. But we'll also talk about being a kid in LA, growing up around real gangs, and the impact American Me actually had. Was it the cautionary tale almost claims it was, or did it somehow make kids want to escape into the dark and gritty world it presents? This episode of More Than a Movie, American Me, is all about the road paved with good intentions and where it really leads. All right, so why don't you start by just introducing yourself?
This is Jacob Vargas, and I play Paulito in American Me.
In American Me, Jacob played Edward James Olmos, his younger brother. Like a lot of Latino actors at the time, Jacob grew up idolizing Olmos, the cool guy in Miami Vice, the weird guy in Blade Runner. So he gets in the casting room for American Me, and EJO isn't there. Instead, he watches two white guys argue over whether he should get this life-changing role in the movie.
I mean, I basically auditioned, you know, but I remember, you know, Eddie, I remember, you know, we'll not call him Eddie now because we're boys, but, you know, I remember watching Edward James Olmos in Miami Vice, you know, and I remember, like, he was just like a bad dude, man, like, you know, mm-hmm. He just had this vibe and he was so cool. And I remember, you know, specifically watching an episode where he's on the beach, you know, and he takes his, you know, I think he's like wearing a Speedo and he's like walking on the Miami beach and going to the, and I was like, that's cool, man. Cause I haven't seen, I never saw that before. Someone that looked or resembled me doing that and looking like, you know, like a sex symbol was the coolest thing ever.
Totally.
So I remember hearing that, you know, he was directing this movie and I went into audition. Funny, I auditioned for a small role. It was like maybe three lines, like for one of the homeboys. And, I remember his assistant at the time was a guy named Danny Otto. And, you know, I have a lot of gratitude for Danny Otto because he said, hey, I think Jacob should read for this other role, you know? And I remember the casting director was there and they kind of got in a little argument because the casting director would say, no, no, that's already cast. And, you know, and he's like, no, but I think Jacob is perfect for this role. And you know, and I'm sitting right in front of him, you know, and they're having this argument. And he goes, no, I'm going to record Jacob in this role. I'm going to send it to Eddie. I think Eddie should see him. And so they had me, you know, read the role of Paulito. And then it was like, okay, thanks. We'll be in touch. And next thing you know, they said, hey, would you mind traveling to Folsom Prison to meet Edward James Olmos? And I was like, okay, you know, so here I'm on a plane. It's up in the Bay Area. So I remember going outside of Folsom Prison. I had to go inside. You know, we had to go through the whole process. And I guess they were filming a lot of the stuff. They're already in production, shooting stuff on the yard. And, you know, Eddie comes to see me, and he's dressed in his,
the prison blues.
In the prison blues. I was like, oh, shit. You know, this, so, but, you know, and he just said, hey, man, I just want to kind of welcome you to the project, and just, you know, I was very impressed with your read, and you know, just want to let you know that you're the guy. You know, I was like, well, you know, a phone call would have sufficed, but hey, thanks, it's great. but it was such a cool experience, you know, that he told me that in person, and he also, you know, he said, look, I this is a really important film, and you know, and you can tell like just how emotionally like invested he was mm-hmm. in this, because he said, look, we're losing too many of our children to this violence, and I really want to tell a story, you know, that's a cautionary tale of what happens when you choose this life. So, you know, so that's what we're making. So I already kind of feel like, oh man, this is heavy. I just felt the weight of it, you know, and I just felt the you know, the responsibility of it. But I've seen it, man. I saw, you know, by the time I was that age, I saw like a lot of my friends, you know. I got friends that got killed that were in gangs and, you know, lost to drug dealing and drugs and all that stuff. So I saw the effect, you know, that it had. So you know, so I was like right there with them, like, cool, then let's do it, you know.
And knowing like, no, those people being kind of your peers, because you know, one of the things I'm so interested in with you is that you were so young doing this.
Yeah.
So like the kind of kids that he's trying to reach are around your age.
Yeah.
And so do you think, like, looking at that, were you like, these guys aren't going to listen to this shit? Or were you like, no, this could make a difference?
You know, I thought it could make a difference. I mean, I really did. I also, you know, it's Eddie almost telling you that. So, you know, so I think it had weight, and so I believe, like, dude, if anybody's gonna do it, it's Eddie. And you know, and if you look at my character, you know, yeah, my character mirrors, you know, those kids who idolize their older brothers or uncles who went to prison, you know, and who looked at prison as something, you know, like a badge of honor, you know, and
a rite of passage.
You're right. Yeah, exactly. And just how easily that cycle continues. And I remember when we were shooting some of these scenes where, and Eddie, like, he got super emotional. I mean, he had tears in his eyes, and you know, he's like, "This is what I'm talking about. This is what we need to stop."
Coming up, we'll go through some of the rumors surrounding the movie, including why certain advisors to the film wound up dead. But first, capitalism.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para
ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Welcome back to More Than a Movie. I'm Alex Fumero. We're talking to the actor Jacob Vargas about the movie American Me. If you remember, we started this podcast because of the memoir by Danny Trejo. He said he turned down American Me in part because he felt that Edward James Olmos wasn't taking it seriously. Or maybe too seriously. We're trying to separate fact from fiction. And one of the biggest accusations from Danny Trejo is that Olmos began living his character everywhere. Even in places where it wasn't appropriate, like a Jewish deli in Beverly Hills. The first time Jacob met Olmos was actually on set in Folsom Prison, with Olmos wearing prison blues. But he didn't get the sense that Olmos was still in character. What he did find was a man possessed in a different sort of way.
Well, I mean, when I saw him, he was actually in in wardrobe. So because we were working together and he was in the scenes and also directing. So, I mean, I guess so he would be dressed as Santana would, you know, with like the Dickies and the Pendletons and all that. So
that's normal.
He's working
in the context. Yeah.
In the context. So that was not unusual. I feel like I think all actors do this in subconscious in a way. We, even though it's not method, we tend to pick up on just some of the way this character would speak and behave and some of the mannerisms. And I think sometimes that bleeds out, you know, subconsciously. I've done that before as well, you know, where my family or my wife say, you know, you kind of act a little different, you know, but it's because you kind of, you know, you do bring it home a little bit. And you know, it takes a while for you to kind of shake off that character if you've been doing it for a long time.
That's really good to understand that. Do you like?
But going back to the Folsom thing, yeah. I mean, he was dressed in the blues, but because he was shooting, you know, so they were already filming. And I don't think he would say, hey, let me change out of my wardrobe to go meet with Jacob.
Yeah,
you know, he just walk over from set, say hello.
And when he talked to you, he didn't talk to you like Santana. He talked to you like Edward.
I mean, but Edward kind of talks like Santana. I mean, you know, Edward does have he does have that thing, you know, like, hey, vato.
He does have
that was kind of his thing. I'm thinking if there was anything out of the ordinary or different, I just thought that was just kind of Eddie, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. So do you remember like the first, what's like the first scene that you got to shoot yourself?
One of the first scenes was the letter scene where I come and I say, hey, you know, I got the letters that you sent me and I'd read them to all my friends and you know, and he was kind of like brag about him. I mean, but it was all, it just felt very, very natural, man, you know? Eddie created this really comfortable environment, you know, where I feel like everybody felt listened to, you know, everybody really felt like they were a part of the film, like from even the extras, you know. I remember he would tell the extras like, hey, this is a very important thing. You're not just in the background, you know, what you're doing is very important. So other people really felt, you know, the community, because a lot of extras were real people from the neighborhood. We were shooting in Hazard and in the projects. And I remember people really felt like they were a part of it, you know. And I remember the time, you know, there were a lot of the homeboys that were hired to do security, you know, just kind of, so that like everybody really felt like involved and a part of it.
And action.
La primera lives, that's it. It lives through us. It gives to us. It is us.
You posted a couple of years ago, you posted a video from the documentary Lives in Hazard.
Yeah.
Where you're being, part of it is you being directed by Edward James Olmos. Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to be directed by this guy who's such a legendary actor?
Again, man, listening, you know, I'm thinking about our conversation when we were filming. It was all, he would sit down with you and say, you know, say, Jacob, this is such an important, you know, scene, because, you know, we need to show the world, you know, the dangers and the violence of this life and you know, and really kind of tell you just how deep and important this scene is. And again, man, he was like just super passionate about it, just, you know. But then he just kind of let you do your thing, you know. And he didn't get too involved as far as, you know, giving you any line readings or anything. But he would just kind of, you know, and I remember one scene specifically was the, you know, the end of the movie where we do the drive-by. I mean, he was a wreck. He was like an emotional wreck. Like he was like crying and I remember you saying this is, you know, this is just too much of this. It's too much of this happening in our community, Jacob. We're losing too many kids and we're losing, you know, too many family members, and, you know, like, and this is it. You know, you guys are telling the world, you know, this, the, you know, showing the world what, you know, what this cycle does. Yeah, like I said, he had a mission, man. Like I just remember he just really believed that this movie could make a difference, you know, in our community. And it wasn't just for entertainment, you know. It was he didn't want to glorify, you know, the life.
You can only control what you put out in the world, not how people react to it. And it's pretty clear that Olmos was making a movie with a message. But 30 years after its release, American Me is not known for preventing gang violence. If anything, the movie seemed to have caused more of it. Do you see any irony in that a film that was intended to stop gang violence, maybe it actually recruited more people to it?
I mean, I guess there is some irony in that. But I feel like I'm sure it probably stopped a few kids, you know? Like, I'm sure a lot of people will see that and say, hey, I don't want any part of that as well. I feel like with certain movies, you know, it can be singled out that American Me is the only one. Like, you look at, like, you know, Goodfellas and all these other films that are cautionary tales about the mafia, you know, in a way tend to glorify it, you know? And then just because, you know, these actors did a really good job and all these characters were cool and you know, Santana was like a cool dude and, you know, he was in charge and you know, held a lot of power. So I just think that there's an attraction to that. And some people will look at that above what the real meaning of the film is, that it's a vicious cycle.
And in the context of, like, this basically, I mean, there was Boulevard Nights before it, but in a way, American Me, like, starts a kind of subgenre of these types of movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, Clifton Collins Jr., who's your buddy, is in one of my favorites, which is 187.
Okay.
But in the kind of catalog of these kinds of movies, where do you rate American Me in terms of, like, in the category of this kind of, like, Chicano gangster flick, is American Me, like, the least glorifying? Do you think it's the one that's the most kind of cautionary?
In my opinion, I feel like it's the least glorifying in its intention, but also the more realistic. You know, I felt because it kind of named names, you know, in a way, and really you saw the truth, and I think because of that, it's more of an attractive film.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely named names.
Yeah,
I mean, the film name checks La M.
Right.
And a lot of the discussion around Anna and some of the other deaths were that it was retribution for participating in a film that some people felt was, you know, libelous and disparaging.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Morgan being one of them, who's like filed suit.
Right.
As an actor in the film, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I always say at the end of the day, I was just an actor. You know what I mean? I wasn't aware. Like, I didn't know the story. I didn't know about any of this, you know, going into it. You know, you're just an actor playing a role. So, and, you know, I just know, like, according, you know, Eddie, you know, I know he said, look, he had permission, you know, to do the film the way it is. So, so I don't know where, you know, it got lost in translation, but you know, I mean, at the same time, you're always a little, you know, worried about that, you know, and I hope that's all in the past.
Oh yeah, the Danny Villarreal and Danny De La Paz both said that they'd had people sort of warn them to be careful in the process and in the aftermath of the film.
You know, nobody's ever told me anything, so I don't know. Maybe they don't like me very much. Like, Jacob, go out there and be free, you know, be out in the open. But then again, I didn't, you know, I wasn't portraying any of the actual MM members either. You know, I was just the little brother on the outside.
Very good point. You know? Yeah, totally. And then on the street, I'm curious, like, what was the vibe, right? Like, do you get people going to you and being like, yo, like, what happened? Like, what do you think the word on the street is that this was blowback for the film?
I remember when it first happened, yeah, a lot of people had questions, and I had zero answers, you know, for them. But I haven't gotten anything lately, you know? Like I said, like once, you know, you guys got in touch with me, I said, oh, wow, American Me, right? You know, we haven't talked about that film in like, you know, 25 years. So I think a lot of people may have like forgotten about it, you know, or it's not that pressing of an issue as it was back then, mm-hmm. You know?
I heard from other actors in American Me that Chicano audiences weren't too happy with the movie or its depiction of Chicano culture. This is our first movie, some of them said. And gang war is what we get? Jacob's parents saw the movie and didn't really know what to think. But for his own generation, the movie was an instant cult classic. Just not for the reasons Olmos would have wanted.
Funny, man. My parents, I'm thinking, I remember we watched it. We went to the movie theater and we, you know, I just think my parents, you know, thought it was kind of violent, you know. But my parents, you know, all they watched was like telenovelas and like, you know, like Mexican, you know, television. So they're like, you know, so they didn't know who anybody was, you know. They're like, I don't know who any actors are.
They don't even know Edward James Olmos.
No,
yeah.
I mean, they do now, but.
No, of course, but know, then. They're like, ¿y la Thalía dónde está?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I remember one time, what I did something. I did like a Spanish talk show, and my parents were so excited that I did this talk show, you know, and I'm like, okay, you guys don't understand, you know, but I think we're just from two different worlds.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely not a movie that my parents would go watch, I mean, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. But I remember watching it with a sold out crowd. I remember there was like line out the door. It was sold out and people loved it. And the funny thing was, I remember walking out, you know, and people were like, oh, that's cool, man. Santana was badass and everybody. And I was like, wow, man, it's for it being a cautionary tale. It almost like it had the reverse effect, you know, because these characters were, again, maybe because we never saw ourselves up on screen. And now we're finally seeing ourselves, you know, in a big Hollywood film, you know, did it glorify it? I don't know. My conversations are usually people love the film. I mean, people love the film, but also to explain how the prison gangs, you know, work and for anybody that wants to understand, like, you know, the Chicano gang life. I mean, that's the movie that is closest to reality, you know, that people go and watch. And so one of those films that gets kind of passed down from generation to generation. And it's still relevant, you know, and it's still, it just gets kind of, you know, passed down and watched and rediscovered. Yeah, but it's a classic. It's like, to me, it's like The Godfather. It's like Goodfellas. It's one of these films that captured like a real moment in time.
Totally. And as you said, it was a film where people saw themselves
right
on screen for the first time.
Yeah.
So you've touched a little bit on the verisimilitude, right? The authenticity mm-hmm. of the film inside and outside of the jail. There were extras that were actual gangsters
yeah.
mm-hmm. in the dudes who were in gangs. I mean, you see it in Lives in Hazard. Can you talk a little bit about like what it was like to kind of interact with those people, how that sort of worked?
I grew up in the hood. I grew up with gang members all around me all the time. So it wasn't anything, you know, different for me. It's just, they just happened to be from Hazard, you know? But it was, they were cool, man. I mean, if anything, they were cool. If anything, they would like, you know, kind of give, you know, kind of help out a little bit. Like say, hey, you know, cuff the bottom of your pant a little bit here. The crease needs to be, you know. So they were very particular about how these guys should look. And I remember they were very particular about like not being wrinkled. You know, they were like, nobody would be wrinkled. Like, because we were playing kids. I remember, and so I think like they were putting the clothes on for us, and they're saying, well, these are like younger kids, so they wouldn't, they wouldn't be as like well put together. And the guy say, "Oh no, man! Once you get in, man, you're like you're ironing your underwear, your socks. The crease has to be perfect.
Khakis with the cuff and
right.
the crease.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And you know, and so you know, also like I remember when you know, I was doing the in one of the things I was putting a tattoo on the you know so." Couple of guys say, "Look, this is how you would do it. You get the needle and you poke, you know." So they became consultants,
yeah,
in a way, yeah. But like, again, man, it was like a big family. Like everybody was really kind of pulling together to make this movie happen.
Yes, everyone was pulling together, but in the neighborhood, anger was simmering in the background. Some gangs wanted to be in the movie but weren't cast. Others were cast but didn't like sharing the stage with rival gangs. One of the people negotiating between the gangs and the movie was Ana Lizárraga, a professional gang interventionist. It was her job to make sure the set was safe in a rough neighborhood every single day. And every morning, the film's location manager, Antoinette Levine, would give everyone a safety talk.
What was your impression of these kind of safety talks that folks like Antoinette Levine would give to the cast and crew?
Honestly, dude, I don't even know if I was paying attention. To the safety. To be honest with you, I was like, "All right, I don't know what this guy is talking about, but all right."
That's very funny.
But I do remember, you know, they would say, "Hey, you know, I guess some other gangs were kind of coming around," and I remember there was an issue with some people feel left out, like, "Well, why are they including this gang and not this gang?" And I remember there was some kind of like behind the scenes truce that was going on. But again, man, we weren't privy to that. I mean, we were young kids, so I think we were kind of protected against, you know, against all of that, you know, and they kind of did a good job of separating us from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the consultants that were on the set. So I'm sure you're aware that about a couple months after the film came out, Ana Lizárraga,
yeah,
was unfortunately killed, and there were a couple other folks, and there's been a lot of rumors about the motivations behind that. I'm just wondering, from your perspective as someone who's in the film, how did you do? You remember hearing that news, and do you remember how you felt?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I, you know, had a lot of contact with Ana. I mean, she was the one that helped a lot with the extras, mm-hmm. and she was, you know, there. Kind of making sure that everybody was listening. You guys got to understand, this is the movie. You guys, you know, if you're going to be in the scene, you got to stay in the scene. You can't just walk off, you know, and like leave. And you know, because a lot of people don't know what it's like to be an extra. Like, no, you're doing the same thing, same scene over and over and over again. So I do remember her being around there and, you know, talking to some of the kids, because, you know, some of the kids were still, you know, they're kind of like little peewees, and you know, and some were wannabes, and so she, I'm sure, always like saying, "Hey, this movie's for you guys, man. You guys, you know." And she was like, "You know, stay away from this, stay away from that, and stay in school." So I just remember her being like, you know, very vocal. And then I, you know, next thing I heard that she was killed. It was really sad.
Hmm. Do you remember? Can you tell me more about her and her character and how?
You know, like I said, I didn't know her that well, you know. Okay. She just seemed like you know, like one of those aunts that's always telling you, "Hey, stay in school," you know, like you know, "Don't be a pendejo," and you know, so she was always, you know, out there with the community, with the, you know, with the, and being kind of a liaison to what the people needed, you know, and present that to the production. Like, say, "Hey, these people need, give them some water," or, "Hey, they're in the shade too long," or something, you know. So, mm-hmm. So I mean, that's kind of what I remember about her.
Coming up on More Than a Movie, I asked Jacob about growing up in Pacoima and how he avoided gang life by basically entertaining the bangers.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Welcome back to More Than a Movie. We're talking to Jacob Vargas about American Me. So we're obviously here to talk about American Me, but I wanted to ask a little bit about how you grew up, like how you got to be so successful in this industry. I mean, first of all, my understanding is that you're from L.A. You were born in Michoacán.
Right. Yeah, I was born in Michoacán, but my parents immigrated to the U.S. when I was a year old. So I pretty much grew up in Pacoima, California. It was the hood, pretty much. I grew up breakdancing. So that was my thing. I it was like there was some kind of truce there where if you were breakdancing, then the gangs kind of left you alone. You know, they just kind of gave you a pass, like, oh, okay, he's a dancer, cool, you know, leave him alone. We're not going to try to recruit him or anything. So that was my thing. They would actually make us dance for him. They'd be like, hey, hey, fool, dance. And you're like, all right. You know?
So that was the trade.
That was the trade-off.
Yeah.
You know, grew up in Pacoima, went to San Fernando High School, San Fernando Junior High.
Jacob was a break dancer in high school, and that's what kept him out of trouble. Eventually, somebody suggested he try out for the school play at San Fernando High School. And that's how he found out what acting's really about. People throw food at you when they hate it.
I didn't plan on becoming an actor. I got discovered breakdancing by my first manager. And so she was a teacher's aide at an elementary school nearby. I went to go, I got suspended for breakdancing. So, you know, part of my punishment was, well, you got to go pick up your sister from school every day. So I started breakdancing in the schoolyard while we went to pick her up. This teacher's aide named Andrea Jones saw me and she said, hey, would you want to be an actor? I manage a few kids here. They do commercials and, you know, they do some work. So, you know, you got a really good look. Would you want to be a breakdancer? You know, on TV and commercials. I said, yeah, why not? So it's really odd, man. So then next thing you know, if you think of it now, like we hop in her car, you know, and like, and she like drives us, you know, to my house. So next thing you know, Miss Jones, what we called her, she said, hey, you know, I want to represent your son and as an actor and, you know, I'll take him to auditions and I'm going to manage him.
Yeah, what did your dad say? Because I want to know the immigrant parent reaction.
He's just like, what, and who is this woman? Why are you in her car? Why are you putting yourself in danger and all that kind of stuff? But, you know, for some reason, I wanted to do it. I'm like, Dad, come on, just, you know. And she said, look, I'll pay, because you know, my parents are like, I don't have any money. You know, I'm not going to pay for any classes or pictures or anything. And she's like, look, don't worry about it. I'll pay for it. I'll front you the money. And, you know, so she had a lot of belief in me, which is really odd because I just met this lady. And then next thing you know, she, I have an audition. She's like, yeah, you have an audition for a role of a breakdancer on Different Strokes, the TV show. And I'll take you down to Universal Studios, you know, and... Dude, I auditioned for the role. They say, hey, can you start today? You know, I remember auditioning like at 9 in the morning. And they said, can you come back at like noon and start working on it? And dude, and next thing you know, man, you know, I spent a whole week on set. We're rehearsing. We do the live performance. You know, it was a small role, but it was in front of a live audience. I mean, it was just an amazing experience. It was great. And then, you know, so my dad said, okay, maybe there's something here, you know. And the next thing you know, I get my check. And they're like, yeah, you stick to this. Stick to this acting, son.
¿Cuántas horas estuviste ahí? Right.
Yeah. And I remember, because with that money, you know, I bought, like, school clothes for all my brothers. We're like, you know, because this was during the summer when this happened.
What is your favorite scene in the movie? And it doesn't have to have you in it. What is your favorite scene in the movie and why?
My favorite scene in the movie and why? It's a good question. I mean, I'm biased, you know? It'd have to be, I mean, for me, it'd have to be like, you know, the end of the film. You know, here these kids kind of doing a little drive-by, you know, and they give it to the youngest kid, you know, to make his bones and the tragedy of it is there's not even a target. It's just like, which one? It's like, it doesn't matter, you know? So just the just how arbitrary it is and just how callous it is. And that's the continuation of this cycle.
But even that final scene carried its own kind of tragedy. An actor who played a young gang member in the backseat of the car was actually shot in real life before the movie's premiere. The shooting left him blind.
Yeah, he was one of the kids. He was one of the kids that was in the scenes with us.
He was in the back seat.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, it's funny because you know he just brought back a memory, is that his big dream was like, dude, I can't wait to see this movie. I can't wait to see this movie when it comes out. And that was his big, I remember he was kind of like, you know, in and out of trouble, and this was something positive that he was doing and moving in the right direction. And I remember hearing that he, you know, never got to see the film. That's tragic.
Yeah.
On our next episode, we talk to the actors who played two of your favorite characters from the movie, Danny De La Paz and Daniel Villarreal, a.k.a. Puppet and Little Puppet.
If that is so, why were we allowed to shoot assholes?
We could never have made the film without a green
light. Why were we allowed to use, like, 300 prisoners?
Yeah.
You know, they could have killed us at any moment.
That's on our next episode of More Than a Movie, American Me. More Than a Movie, American Me is a production of Exile Content Studios and Trojan Horse in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network. The show is produced by me, Alex Fumero, at Angry Yuka on the internets. And our senior producer is Nigel Duara. Rose Reed and Kareem Tapsch are the executive producers. Production assistants from Sabine Jansen, Anna Octavio, and Stella Emmett. Mixing and sound design by Eduardo Albornoz. Our executive producers at iHeart are Giselle Bances and Arlene Santana. For more podcasts, listen to the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.